getting to watch the grace of God that attends various ones refine their grace in our presence. And today it's my joy to present to our pulpit the future reverend someday and pastor and apostle and whatever else God's going to do with him. Would you stand and welcome Jay Patterson?
Well, good morning. I certainly wasn't expecting all that. Thank you, sir. Remembering something about Princess Bride right now. Inconceivable. Oh, well, good morning. I had a really great time up here this last time speaking with you about maturity, and so I'm going to speak about it again. When I started off talking with you last time, I did bring to light the fact that God has been speaking to us almost continuously now for months about the topic of maturity. You've been hearing it from various angles. And so I think it's important that we highlight again today the importance, it's intensely important, that we begin to get on board with him and what he's doing. There's grace for this right now in this season. And so he's given me another aspect of things to share today. And I'm very excited about that. Let's not expect that the Lord's going to let up on this topic of maturity. This is something that is really, really significant in this season, not just here in this place and in your life, but across the globe. God's doing something to the body of Christ. Okay? So let's not expect that he's going to let up on that, but instead, he's probably going to get more direct about how that impacts our lives. So please, let's look to get on board. So this message today builds from my previous message, and it's meant to continue in that stream in the context of what was going on there and in what the Lord's doing in this season. So I'll do a little bit of a recap for the last time just to refresh your minds. And if you didn't hear that message, I really suggest going back in that because it talks about the context for what we're doing here. So the previous message was about surrender being the heart attitude that we need to bring us to the place of willing obedience to the Father. Okay? Now the context that was spoken about in is the love-trust relationship. Those are the ground rules that we used, right? And in the love-trust relationship, we see Jesus Christ and the Father being the perfect example of that, right? In a love-trust relationship, both members in the relationship govern their actions based on the foundational understanding that they both love and trust one another. It's a two-way street, okay? Obedience to the will of God brings us into accurate alignment with who he is. So he works his nature into us as sons. Okay? He's making us to look like him. He's putting his nature into us. When we are obedient to him, it's the act by which we put to death the things that are in us that oppose him. So that what is left is of him. Okay? Because we're here to put him on display. All of this is moving towards oneness with the Father. When Christ says, I and my Father are one, he wants that same relationship for us with his Father. We know that because when he prayed to the Lord, or prayed to God in John chapter 17, he speaks about that, how he wants us to be one with him and one in the Father. But he also talks about one with each other. In order to get to this place where there's obedience for us to the things the Lord's talking to us about and the things he's telling us and commanding us to do, it requires that we're surrendered to him. As a recap, surrender. Cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Give up or hand over, typically on compulsion or demand. Abandon oneself entirely to and to give into. He's wanting us to give ourselves over to him. so that he can work himself through us, so that we can become more and more like him. Now, it's important, again, to recognize that this isn't just an act of your will. It's not you making yourself better. It's not something that you say, okay, God told me to do this. I'm going to, under my own power, make this happen. He comes alongside us, and he gives us grace for everything that he's told us to do. So we had that message. And then a couple weeks ago, Lanny preached. And in a conversation a few days later, I said, thank you very much for that message. I've been measured by that message this week. Lanny brought us into Ephesians chapter 4, where he reminded us that Paul admonished us that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, and how that has haunted him. And he said, I hope this haunts you. So thank you again for that. Because it has haunted me. That statement and that prayer is where the rubber meets the road in your life. That is hard, hard words, but they're incredibly, incredibly valuable. Lanny went on to say, if we're going to put the Lord on display, we have to look like him. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it goes into character qualities that show him on display. Okay? Things like humility, gentleness, patience, diligence. He challenged us to just pick one off the list to go with the Lord between now and the end of the year. Because really trying to attack more than one of those is probably going to get you killed. He also revealed to us that he's actually going after patience, which we've all been told our entire lives, never pray for patience. But pastors praying for patience. And I really appreciate that. Because really, if you get serious about following the Lord, at some point, he'll probably make that requirement of you as well. Okay? We have to be serious about following him. So, I chose humility. As an aside, when you settle within yourself that you're willing to submit yourself to the Lord for him to bring you to maturity, you will be faced with facing yourself as you are. That's harder than it sounds. In producing these qualities in you, you're faced with standing against the things in you that are opposed to those qualities. You feel the weight of those things. They get dug up, they get unearthed. They're brought back into the forefront and they're shown back to you. Things that you both know are there and things that you didn't know are there. I was surprised at what the Lord showed me about myself. I found myself responding in situations in ways that shocked me. And I found myself reacting in ways that I used to react. We all know what that means. If you've been following the Lord, there's ways that you used to act and react to things. And you think that those things get completely put to bed. But you might be surprised to find out that there's still a little bit of that lingering in you, right? And it's the Lord's goodness that he brings those things up and he shows them to us so that we can take steps forward. When you ask for humility, he brings you situations that will humble you. I can't go into the details of some of these because they're very personal. But I am so impressed by how the Lord not only brought these situations to the forefront, and my actions and my intentions in them were incorrect, But the grace that he supplied in those situations carried me through. You see, when you are faced with these things, the enemy comes and tells you, see, you're still dirty. You're just like you were. This problem, you thought you'd figured it out, it's not put to bed. And it's too big for God to handle. So don't even try. Nothing is too big for God to handle. Nothing. And he supplies the grace for that thing to be dealt with. I've been feeling in this season like I'm being measured. Have you ever felt like you're being measured? I'm not talking about somebody sizing you up like, okay, you know, giving you up and down. I mean measured. Where you feel, it's like somebody's watching over your shoulder or standing right next to you. And they're watching everything that's taking place in your life. And they've got the standard right up next to you. And you'll find where you're falling short on that standard. Right? But the purpose isn't to condemn you. The purpose is to convict you. Right? It's to show you where you're short. And it's not just your actions, too. I've been having my intentions measured in real time. You know when you're having words coming out of your mouth, and as soon as it leaves you, you recognize those words might be right, but what's in here is not right. My reason for doing that was wrong. It's a tough thing to live under. But when the Lord identifies something into us that he wants to deal with, he is there to provide grace. He showed me selfishness, pride, self-protection, self-promotion, anger, and a slew of other things. But when he does that, he brings us low. When our intention is to move forward with him, we get brought low. James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'd like to be on the latter end of that. So I'm going to continue to surrender to him. If this is what he's unearthing in my life right now, then there's grace for it, and I want to deal with it here and now so those things don't grow to where they could be in the future. But this isn't really the focus of what I'm talking about this morning. This is context. In order to get what we're talking about this morning, I would like us to begin to think corporately, not just individually. We've been talking a lot about maturity on the individual level, on the level of each of us individually, but we have to start growing that toward the corporate sense, because God is building a corporate body. He's not just building you. He's not just building me. He's doing those things, but he's building a corporate man. So we have to start thinking corporately. We are connected by the Spirit, and together we, the collective of believers in Christ, both alive now and those have passed, make up the body of Christ. And he's bringing us to maturity. So don't just hear this message this morning as I'm speaking to some specific individual person other than you. I'm speaking to us. Because we are the body. He's maturing us together. He is interested in all of us coming to maturity collectively. So what I want to talk with you about today, in light of all that, is love. Here we're talking about maturity. But I want to talk about love. Another one of the scriptures that Pastor spoke about is Ephesians 4, verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this comes immediately after those characteristic qualities that we talked about, the humility, the diligence, the patience. It says that we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Those characteristics that we talked about are things that we can see as far as maturity in who we are. Now, the Lord is very serious about having oneness in his body. He does not want a fractured or fragmented body. That's why he's telling us to make sure that we keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So how do we do that? What is it that is at work in us to keep that unity? If we go on to verses 12 and 13 of that same chapter, we learn that the fivefold ministry is there to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. It's there to build up the body. So how is the body built up? It goes on in verse 15 and 16 to say, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That's significant. We grow and we are built in love. The body of Christ is built in love through the works that he has prepared for us. If you recall back in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the importance of love. It doesn't matter what you do, whether it's prophesying, whether it's healing, whether it's having a great church service, whether it's any of those things, praying for people, doing things. If you don't do that in love, it gets burned up. Things are going to be judged at the end. And if it's not done in love, it's meaningless. That's pretty important. So he's building us up. We were built up in love. Now these are people we're talking about making up the body. We, believers in Christ, are assembled together in his body, and we're connected through love. We're strengthened through love. It says it's builds itself up in love. If we're the body of Christ, and love has to be in us. It has to be worked out through us. Again, in Colossians 2:2-3, we find Paul talking about what he is laboring so hard at in trying to mature the body of Christ. He says, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." When we love each other, when we abide in love, he pours those things out to us, that wisdom, that knowledge. The body of Christ is healthy when we're doing those things. Remember, abiding in Christ means that we have to abide in his love. Let's hold on to that point. The body of Christ is built up in love, and it is that love which must be maintained in order to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What we are preserving is the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And we do this through loving each other. Interestingly, the characteristics that are described just prior to the admonition about preserving the bonds of peace, humility, gentleness, patience, can be found nested in the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. So what's covered there? Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We have to love each other. Now, don't hear me in saying this that you're not loving each other enough. Not saying that. I'm encouraging us. We've got to love each other. It's against our human nature, but it's in perfect alignment with God's nature. We have to love each other. Remember that the type of oneness he wants with us to have is like what he has the Father, but it's not just oneness with him and oneness with the Father. He also says oneness with each other. Oneness. If we're going to have oneness with him and oneness with Father, then we're only left with oneness with one another. I mean, anything else is a logic trap, right? You can't be one with this thing and be separate from part of it. You have to be part of that. You have to be one with that. Let's say that Pastor Lanny is one with the Father. I believe that he is. He's found in Christ, and Christ is found in God. If I don't like Pastor Lanny, I've got an issue with my Father. God's really serious about this. He's absolutely serious about this, about how we love one another. He actually commanded it. In John 15:12, Jesus says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." That's a command from Jesus. Love each other as I have loved you. Not love each other as you want to be treated. Love each other as I have loved you. And he quickly follows it by this, "Greater love has no one than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." In 1 John 4:21, it's boiled down this way, "Whoever loves God must also love his brother." If we hate our brother, then we don't love God. Those are really tough, cut and dry concepts that we have to deal with. So how do we abide in his love? He tells us that we abide in his love by obeying his commands. I found the scripture, and it kind of wraps everything together. I really like it. I'm going to share it with you. It's a passage from 1 John 5:1-5. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands," this is wonderful right here, "and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He comes alongside us. His commands are not burdensome. His commands to love one another is not burdensome because he gives us the grace to do it, just like everything else. If he's told us to do it, he supplies the grace for it. This whole thing starts to come around full circle about maturity and obedience, becoming more like him, and having to love one another as part of our obedience to him. To grow in maturity, to become more like him, we have to obey his commands. And obeying his commands is how we show love for God. If we love him, then we must obey his command to love our brother. And by loving our brother, we grow in maturity. This is like a good vicious cycle. Right? Like most other things in the Lord, it takes that first step. It takes that first step to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you're going to give me grace for these things. I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide the grace." And as we go, we see him meet us there. As you grow in maturity, you continue to see the Lord meeting you there. Obeying his commands isn't something then that you start to wrestle with more and more. It's something that you do more and more because you're transformed by it. ultimately, I believe, our maturity is measured by our demonstrated capacity to love. Our demonstrated capacity to love. Not just our thoughts about how we love people, but how we demonstrate our capacity to love. As He transforms us, that capacity grows. That is what is maturing in us. Let's just take a step back and look at the big picture here. In one way, this is kind of complicated. In another way, it's actually very simple. If God's nature is love, and we're to grow up to look like Daddy, then we should grow up to look like love. Love should be formed in us. Love should be developed in us. I'm really excited about this. I'm sorry. Because it is just that simple. We're growing up in love. When we're patient with one another, we're loving. When we're kind to one another, we're loving. When we're long-suffering, we're loving. We're not keeping records of wrongs, we're loving. It's in direct opposition to what we would naturally do, but it's Him, it's love. And as we do it more and more, my goodness, we grow in it. As we come to know Him more and more, and we see Him doing those exact same things to us, and we do it back out. We love because He first loved us. He's the model. We have to die to ourselves. We love our brother. We die to ourselves because we're putting ourselves back up there and saying, "You're more important than me." When we're being humble, we're being loving. Praise God. And let's not forget the corporate aspect of this. When we together love and we grow together in maturity, He is being put on display to the world. They are seeing His love through us. Let's not just think about the corporate aspect of things being everybody here in this room and everybody associated with this place. The body of Christ is global. He's not just talking to us about being matured. He's talking about the whole body of Christ maturing. I believe we're moving forward in generations in the body of Christ. I believe what's going to be happening is we're going to be seeing more of this. If the Lord is urging us collectively to become more mature, He's doing that across the world, and He is going to be pouring out more love through His body in days to come. I want to make a link here. God the Father is perfect love, and Jesus, the Word, represents all the power in the universe. Itty bitty living space. Right? All the power in the universe, but what contains Him? What keeps that power from going all over the place? He's governed by perfect love. He does nothing He doesn't see the Father doing. The Father trusts Him, and He trusts the Father. That love-trust relationship, remember, that's the context for all of this. If you've been trusted with little things, you'll be trusted with great things. As you demonstrate that you're trustworthy, He gives you more. He gives you more to wield because He knows He can trust you. You're only going to do what He tells you. I believe there's a generation coming that will be mature in the Lord, that will wield a level of power and authority that we can't comprehend because it's a collective corporate body of mature believers. And God is going to pour things out through them that He could never trust us with. But He's going to trust them. Some of us may be part of that. Some of us may live to see that. But I want to get on board with that train. I want to be moving in that direction. There's challenging times to come. And if we look at our own effort as the answer to those challenges, we are horribly mistaken. But if we look to God, to mature us as a body. We recognize that he's going to pour out grace in that time that's beyond anything that we could imagine. We're so thankful to him for doing this with us. I believe we're starting to build in that direction. I believe that we are becoming a fertile place for that to happen. So I encourage you, go to the Lord. Ask him, Lord, what is it you want to work on with me? Because I know you're going to have the grace for it. And I told you those stories about what he's been doing in me. Not to scare you, but to encourage you. Okay? He's going to meet you right where you're at. If you go at risk with him, he provides more grace than you could imagine for dealing with each situation that he brings before you. It will shock you and astonish you at how gracious he is. So go at risk with him. It's really not a risk. What you have to lose is any ground by not going forward with him. I've asked for us to hold the corporate prayer time until now. This is the end of my message. And I'm going to finish it this way. As we are moving forward in maturity as a body of Christ, like I said, it's not just about the individual believers that are here, your relationships with each of us. While I believe those are of primary importance because we see each other all the time, and we have covenantal relationships with one another, and we represent something here in time and space in this location, I believe we have to start expanding our horizons of what we see as the body of Christ. I know, I fall game to this all the time. When I read the body of Christ, I think, you know, I think Jesse, and I think about Al and Lanny and Tim. And this is the body of Christ that I see all the time, but it's bigger than that, right? And there has to be unity between not just us, but us and other locations, other congregations, other Christians in our community. Right? This is an expanding thing. So today, we're going to be praying for those other congregations in our area. We're going to be praying for our leaders of those congregations. We're going to be praying for each other, that the Lord would start to bring unity between us. Not that we would be looking at the differences in our doctrines and things like that, but be looking for the unity in the Spirit. What is it that binds us? How can we build one another up? What do we need to shed to go on in maturity with him? You know, we think we have all the answers sometimes. And they think they have all the answers. We all have the answer, and it's Jesus. Right? He is the truth. And he's going to transform us together. So if you will, please rise with me. I'd like you to take the hands of the believers that are next to you. We're talking about the bonds of peace. Please hold hands with one another. Now I'm going to lead in prayer, but I want you to be praying to yourselves at the same time. Pray in agreement with what the Lord is doing here. Pray in agreement with the words that are coming forward. If he gives you something specifically to pray, release that. There's value in this. We as a corporate body are coming together to release prayers up to him. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your corporate body. I thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the unity of the Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would release the unity of the Spirit upon the pastors here in Southern Maryland, Lord. The region that you have placed each of us in, Lord. We ask for your blessings to start with the heads over these households, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would begin to break down the barriers of inconveniences, Lord, and things that have been said over time and disappointments between them in their relationships, Lord. I ask that you would unite them afresh in new ways, Lord. Put in their minds the idea to call up another pastor and encourage him and to pray for him, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring them together. I ask that you would give them wisdom, Lord, for their congregations in this area, Lord, that you would give them peace in their minds, Lord Jesus, but help them to see through revelation what you would have them enact in their people, Lord Jesus, to bring them closer to you. And Lord, I ask that you'd give them a shared vision for the future of our region. Lord, prophetic insight into what you would have the body of Christ do here in this place, Lord. I thank you, Father. Strengthen the relational bonds between our congregations. Lord, put the same idea into the multitude of believers in various congregations so that you can bring us together, Lord, to be unified in touching this community. I thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you would bring unity of the Spirit and love between the believers that we know now, Lord, and that we are coming into relationship with. Lord, help us to pray with one another. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to challenge one another, Lord, to rise up in you and grow in maturity, Lord Jesus, to strengthen and encourage in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you would impact this community through the love of the saints. Lord, that they would know that we are followers of Christ by our love, not just in this congregation, Lord, but throughout this region. That they would see us and recognize something different in it, Lord. Lord, break down the barriers of racism, Lord, of classism, Lord, of sexism, all these things. Lord, break down the barriers so that you, your love could pour out through us into this community, Lord. Lord, change our culture to be the culture of heaven. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before you go, I'd like you to turn to one of those believers that's next to you, right? And I'd like you to pray for one another. I'd like you to ask one another, what can I pray for? If nothing can come to your mind of what you need prayed for, just ask to be blessed, all right? Pray together right now, all right? And as you're done, please be dismissed. If you need prayer at the altar, please come forward. Otherwise, snacking and yakking in the lobby. God bless you all.